They're saving lives during the pandemic, but tons of discarded surgical gowns, masks and medical waste are polluting our environment. So what can we do to prevent an ecological disaster? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Elizabeth Peranum. Disposable masks, gloves, surgical gowns, just some of the medical items which have become part of our daily lives since the pandemic began 2 years ago. But much of the protective personal equipment, or PPE, is made up of single-use plastics that can't be recycled and have to be disposed of carefully. The World Health Organization says all that medical waste is hazardous to our health and to our environment. Protective gear, syringes, vaccine vials and chemicals end up in landfills and waterways. The WHO is urging all countries to improve their medical waste management.
One of the really important findings is that we found that COVID-19 has increased healthcare waste loads in facilities to up to 10 times current volumes. If you consider that 2 in 3 healthcare facilities in the least developed countries didn't have systems to segregate or safely treat waste before the pandemic, you can just imagine how much burden this extra waste load has put on healthcare workers, on surrounding communities, especially where waste is burned with the release of dioxins and furans.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, there's been an enormous amount of medical waste since the pandemic started. The WHO report found most of the 87,000 tons of personal protective equipment ordered between March 2020 and November last year ended up as waste. The environmental group Oceans Asia estimates nearly 1.6 billion masks went into our oceans in 2020. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology says the pandemic could create up to 7,200 tons of medical waste every day. And a study from the University of Portsmouth found mask litter increased by 9,000% in the first 7 months of the pandemic. Well, let's bring in our guests now. In New Delhi is Vimalendu Jha, an environmentalist and founder of Swecha, a non-profit environment organisation. In Beirut is Ziad Abishakar, founder of Sira Environmental. That's an environment and industrial engineering firm. Ziad develops the necessary technology to treat waste. And in Amsterdam, we have Joop de Vries, a science medical journalist who's covering the pandemic extensively. A very warm welcome to all of you. And Mr. Jha, I'll start with you in New Delhi. We've named just a few examples of the impact that we've seen medical waste have on the environment, but how much would you say that COVID-19 medical waste has had on waste management systems?
So we have to understand that COVID waste or biomedical waste in general has short-term, medium-term and long-term impact on ecology and therefore on human health and public health. Right now, in case of India, we've actually seen, there's almost doubling of biomedical waste in certain areas. We've seen a very inefficient management of biomedical waste that's been happening. Like, we only have around 200 centers that actually are supposed to be treating biomedical waste in that sense. And, imagine a country of almost a billion and a half people and only 200 centers to really treat your waste. So it's a very huge problem where we're actually addressing the immediate COVID problem, a pandemic where we're trying to protect ourselves. But in the process of protecting ourselves immediately, we are actually creating an intergenerational crisis, an ecological crisis, and a public health crisis. And that's where we've seen there are several visuals coming from different parts of the country where there are leaps and mounts of garbage all around.
Absolutely.
And our garbage entering our waterways.
And we know that in India, those mounds of garbage existed long before the pandemic began. If I can come to Ziad Abishakar, you know, there are really two issues that we're looking at here. As one is the biomedical waste that the pandemic has created. Is it being disposed of correctly? And then the massive amounts of waste that has been created because of the pandemic, whether it's hazardous or not. How much of the COVID-19 medical waste, you know, that's being produced would you say is recyclable?
Well, in principle, if you follow good management practices, everything is recyclable. Your main obstacle here is that you are dealing with a huge influx, a huge volume, and where you have hospitals that are in charge of some of this waste being produced, and the other big chunk is the regular residents. I know for a fact that masks and gloves also, you know, when the pandemic started, everybody was thinking that you could transmit it by touch and it survives on surfaces. So everybody was abusing disposable gloves. And you have the masks. All these are plastic materials, and in principle, they are recyclable. We have developed technologies to recycle these. The problem is, can you really properly channel them to recycling centers or not?
And that is what the conversation today is about. Vimlen Duja, I can see that I'm not sure if you were disagreeing there with Ziad Abishakar. I will come to you in a second. But just before I do, I want to bring Jop de Vriese in here because it's been nearly 2 years since the pandemic began. It's a pandemic that you have covered extensively. Why do you think that the WHO has brought out this report at this time?
Well, the issue has been raised before by several institutions, but it's not a coincidence, I guess, because we are in many parts of the world moving from the more acute phase of all these different waves that were very acute, all of them, into what they call the endemic state. In other words, we're getting used to having the virus around and we're no longer in that stage of, okay, we have to sort out this crisis and we'll take care of the garbage after that. So we have to come up with sustainable and systematic solutions now. So, yeah, it's no coincidence.
Okay. And Vimlen Duja, if I can bring you in now, because I could tell that you wanted to say something earlier.
So the thing is that, you know, the recycling is not a solution. In fact, you know, what is recycling? It's about disintegrating plastic. It's about incineration. We'll have to really look at our governments and our institutions to think beyond pandemic. There was a time 2 years ago when there was an immediate emergency response. Right now we are prepared, but the unfortunate part of this preparation is that we are still not yet prepared enough to oversee, to understand, to really manage our waste. We're actually manufacturing yet another public health crisis for the future generation. And that vision is not really clear for our governments. We just have had our budget announced a couple of, you know, just yesterday, and there's no mention of biomedical waste or waste generation.
And the link is that it has to come. If I can pick up on a point that you're making, because, you know, I think, you know, when we're talking about masks and perhaps disposable masks are the item that we have used most during the pandemic, the WHO says that in 2020, something like 3.4 billion disposable masks were thrown out each day. A lot of these masks are made of plastic. So why are you saying that they're not recyclable?
No, so we need to understand from a basic environmental policy, what is recycling? A lot of recycling is incineration, which is basically, again, toxins. We need to understand that recycling is the worst thing when it comes to environmental virtue. Of course, as in, there's no other alternative that we actually have than incinerate it. There's nothing else that you can actually do other than burning plastic. But my issue, therefore, is at a very philosophical understanding of recycling, which is the last thing, the last virtue or an environmental virtue in that sense. And we've seen WHO talking about it. We've seen several health organizations and public health organizations talk about it, that we need to really understand that it takes 450 years for a mask, for a simple mask, to decompose. It might take just a few seconds in an incinerator. but incinerator is not the best option. So we need to really have a holistic understanding of garbage waste collection. Like, for example, in India, 75% of our budget actually goes into waste transportation rather than actual waste management. So it needs to be really cradle to grave understanding of garbage we need to have.
Let me put that to Ziad Abishakar, because he does have a very good understanding of waste management. He develops the technology to treat waste. Do you agree that recycling masks is just not an option? I mean, are there more environmentally friendly ways to get rid of some of this waste?
First of all, let's agree that incineration is not recycling. When you burn something, you're not recycling it. Recycling, in the etymology of the term, is that you are putting back this material back into practice. There is a cycle you are following. When you burn it, when you incinerate it, you just lost it, okay? No, we're not talking about incineration here. And we, you can just look up what we have been doing lately in Beirut. You know, we are in the midst of a severe financial crisis, and a lot of people now are resorting to stealing the manhole covers, the steel manhole covers. And my organization, since April now, we are using facial masks, facial masks in a plastic matrix, and we are extruding them, and we are making plastic manhole covers. So, recycling is definitely, if you're a technical person, if someone who understands the behavior of plastic, plastic is a fantastic material that lasts for hundreds of years. All you need to do is put it to good use, and definitely do not incinerate it. Okay. Definitely.
All right. Some of the other issues that we have here is that the messaging from the WHO, it certainly has developed, if not changed, it's developed a lot over the course of the pandemic as they get more information. Jaap de Vries, I want to ask you, how important are the guidelines from the WHO? Is classification from the WHO? For example, the WHO is saying that many facilities, many countries at the moment are classifying 100% of the waste, of the COVID-19 medical waste they are generating as hazardous, which has resulted in, places like where Vimalendu Jaya is in New Delhi, the amount of waste quadrupling in Delhi during the height of the second wave in May. So how important is classification and that facilities, that countries follow the WHO guidelines?
Well, they have been regarded as very important throughout this pandemic. We've seen it also from the medical guidelines. They have to be practical, pragmatic. So if you make everything the most dangerous classification, you end up with way too much. If you put it too low, the bar too low, a lot of workers, health workers and other workers are in danger. If I look at my own situation, like in the country here, we have a lot of self-testing, and everybody is just putting their positive tests just in the normal waste. Nobody cares, seems to care about it. But the people that are picking up the garbage are in danger there, so to say. And there has been no discussion about it.
Right. And on the need for discussion, when I was reading this report, there were some WHO recommendations which actually surprised me as, a journalist who's tried to keep up with all the changing guidelines. The WHO actually recommends, for example, it doesn't recommend the use of gloves for administering vaccines, but this appears to be common practice. Again, we're so used to seeing healthcare workers in full PPE, including gloves. So is there enough, is there more re-education that's necessary right now?
Yeah, a lot of countries have been slowly moving into more and more use of PPE. And now it's a time for what WHO calls rational use. And that can be The gloves is one example. So you don't need to wear gloves, according to WHO, when administering vaccines. But in many countries, it's been done. So that's something to address, and they can abandon that practice. But it's the same for other use of PPE. So that's one of the things. So one of the things is recycling. One of the things is more better waste streams. The other thing is rational use. So it's not a simple solution. It's the Swiss cheese again, as we have with the COVID again, as well with the COVID the pandemic. Like all these different steps we need to take in order to solve this problem.
Yeah, absolutely not a simple solution. Vimalendu Jha, you know, you work again in New Delhi around communities which living in proximity to poorly managed landfills, waste disposable sites, which there's no shortage of. What kind of guidelines or recommendations would you like to see from the WHO now at this point?
So, you know, as I said earlier as well, you know, India currently, just 6 months ago, was actually producing almost 230 tons of COVID waste a day, plus 600 tons of normal municipal waste. So we anyway have been dealing with municipal waste issues, a very fractured waste management regime. And then we have this COVID waste. My recommendation to WHO is to really have a linkage between waste and public health. Because WHO is not an organization which is only supposed to respond to COVID. It's also other diseases. So COVID or COVID prevention is actually leading to more and more diseases for future. And in fact, our waterways, as in right now, we know that in 20 years with COVID waste plus plastic, the amount of garbage and plastic that's going to enter our oceans in 20 years is going to be 3 times more. So I think it's also a responsibility of WHO to look at not just a short-term response, measure, reaction, correction to COVID, but also to understand it long-term, that how do we actually take care of public health, where we might be able to be safe from COVID by a PPE kit or gloves, which now they say it's not even needed. How do we actually solve this public health crisis for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? Because each of this garbage is going to remain in our system, in our ecology, in our food chain for at least 400 to 500 years. And that's what I need and I expect WHO to also respond to. A future plan, a medium-term, long-term plan to waste management and public health crisis management.
And Mr. Abhishekar, what is the role of, national governments in this, because the WHO can, of course, issue all the guidelines. But again, somewhere like Lebanon, where the country is in the political, the economic crisis that it's in, and it's had a waste management issue for years now.
Exactly. I mean, and this is not just for Lebanon. I'm a great believer in local action. You know, when you have problems, the best way to solve them is to rely on the common intelligence of the community in pulling resources from the community and going to the decision makers and saying, this is what we want, this is what we need, make it happen. Always relying on outside factors is just a way to delay the solution or to kind of look at it from a lazy perspective. All the problems that we are seeing now are lessons for the future. And the biggest lesson that we should be learning is that we have to act locally and swiftly and to train a lot of the population. We have to make them aware that, this is also bad for you. This is not just good for the environment. This is bad for our collective health. We need to deal with these kinds of materials and these kinds of kits in a more responsible way. And local governments have the responsibility of placing the right infrastructure in place. We heard now that even in Amsterdam, they were throwing away the self-testing kits with the home garbage. This is utterly unacceptable.
Joop de Vries, what is the level of awareness in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands and other European countries when it comes to disposing of when it comes to disposing of medical waste, but also the impact that it's having on the environment?
Well, in countries like the Netherlands, like the real like the basic medical waste that's been processed from the hospitals and the municipal health stations there, the vaccine streets, as they call it, that's kind of okay. And that's under control, but there's the huge environmental issue. I would argue in favor of some kind of a global cleaning day for the whole world population together to clean at least the mess that we have now, mm-hmm. because people don't seem to care. I mean, a lot of people even make fun of leaving their face masks in the weirdest places. It's more of a fun game than of responsibility.
Well, it certainly sounds like we're going to need a global cleanup day. Vimalendu Jha, one of the things I really want to cover on this is plastic production. It's more than doubled since the start of the pandemic. You know, how concerning is that for both the short-term impacts of that on fresh water, on oceans, and then, of course, the longer-term impact of nanoplastics staying in the environment?
So indeed, as in, we're talking about plastic and then we're talking about microplastic. And that's where we're talking about whether we incinerate it or whether we actually make it into a bucket or a product or a plastic sheet. All of the plastic is going to remain into our environment. Plastic always, through recycling also, only downgrades into a lower quality plastic in that sense. I think it's going to stay. It's going to be really important that it's disposed properly. That's where the role of the governments is very, very important, to realize that biomedical waste efforts or biomedical waste management and disposal facilities needs to be improved. As I said earlier, we only have 200 of them in a billion and a half people, and they're almost one quarter of our country doesn't even have that facility. So therefore, we need to really have an integrated plan where we look at corona/COVID, we look at public health, and then we look at public ecology. Plastic will remain in our lives and through our food chain if we don't respond to it right away.
We have just a couple of minutes left in the program, and I'd like to ask a very quick question to all of you. The WHO report says that it's not an either-or choice between COVID-19 and the environment, but how do we reach that balance? Mr. Abhishekar, I'll start with you in Beirut.
Well, this is not the first time the humanity experiences a pandemic, We've been having them for the last 20 years, again and again and again, and it's always going to be the same thing. Unless you have the proper infrastructure in place for a pandemic and for non-pandemic related waste issues, you're going to be facing the same problems all over again. It's the role of local governments and local communities to put the pressure and to put their act together and start putting down that infrastructure.
Jop de Vriese?
Yeah, I would agree with that the infrastructure is the most important thing. To stop ending up plastics from ending up in oceans is to stop them from ending up there. So that's the most important thing. And then the report is pretty extensive in giving all these different other steps that need to be done. Like some is recycling, some is different new materials, more sustainable materials. So, but a lot of work needs to be done in all these fields.
Okay, and Vimalendu Jha.
See, in a common sense civilization, we should have woken up in 2 years. It's been 2 years and still we don't realize, we don't understand, and we're not acting or we're not giving proportionate response to this waste crisis. My only expectation and suggestion is that pandemic is not over and we never know. It's been around for 2 years and we don't know how many more years it's going to continue. We need to really create systems. At least this is a trigger warning for all of us and our respective governments to really invest in biomedical waste, invest in waste treatment and in our public health, therefore.
All right, Mr. Jha, thank you very much for that. And thank you to all of our guests, Vimalendu Jha in Delhi, Ziad Abhishekar in Beirut, and Jop de Vriese in Amsterdam. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, do go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Elizabeth Paranham, and the entire team here, bye for now.